You got your Bibles tonight, and I hope you do, in a Baptist church anyhow. You got your Bible to turn to the 16th chapter of Luke. It's interesting to read some things of the Bible, to know that when we put our faith in Christ, that one day when we depart this place, we have a guarantee to be in heaven. We wonder sometimes, we're not worried about the death part of it. Sometimes we worry about how we may die. You know, we don't want cancer or something like that that will prolong us. But death itself does not bother a Christian. We wonder sometimes how the transaction will take place when you leave this world and enter into the next world. We all wonder that sometimes, and it gives us a little bit of a glimpse in the Bible. And we're going to see some of that tonight as we study the 16th chapter of the book of Luke on some of these questions that we have. And another one of the questions is that sometimes we wonder why God don't make us rich. You know, anybody can be poor, but and most of us are. But you know, it comes to the word trust. We all could say that if God gave me $1 million, I'd give half of it to the church. That's easy to say, you know. But God knows that if he gave us $1 million, it would probably drive us from the church. I've heard people say if they got $1 million, they would give half of it to the church. I say, well, you got 10? That's not very much, 5. Well, I got to have, you know the story. Let's go to the 16th chapter of Luke. And please stand as we read. Starting in verse 19, a very familiar passage. 16, verse 19, and there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sore. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afore off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto them, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Father, again, we come to you this night. We are thankful, Father, that we can stand and proclaim the gospel of Christ. We ask, Lord, that you'll be in our midst tonight. Help us to understand the scriptures. Help us, Lord, as we leave here, that we may receive a blessing from you, because we know that all things are from you. We ask now that you'll be with us and comfort our hearts, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. This is a very interesting story about two men. One is rich and one is poor. And it's talking about, starting off here, it says there was a certain rich man. The rich man did not have a name, as me and you would, to be called by, but he was called a certain man, which points to a certain individual. And then it says that he proved his wealth because he was rich. When you are rich, you dress like you're rich. This man dressed in his purple, and he showed his royalty by doing this, and he dressed in fine linens. And there was nothing that was too good for him, or he did not have the money to buy. When the latest fashion come out, I think he went and bought it, because he had everything that he probably wanted. And it said that he fared sumptuously every day. Every day was a routine for him as a rich man would be. He had certain things that he did, certain people he seen, certain people that he tried to impress. And he did all this every day. Every day was a great day for him. He had no need for anything else because he had all the money he needed. And he had the servants he needed. He did not need anything else. This first man, it says that he was rich. And it said he lived and he died without God. We're going to get a little bit of a glimpse of the afterlife, the other side, and what it's like. Now, in the New Testament, when we go to talking about the other side, in the New Testament alone, there's only four men, I think, that can speak with authority concerning the other side. One of them, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ. The other one is Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days and was raised there. And John, who was given the revelation. And Paul, who was caught up into the third heaven. These men here speak on the other side. It tells us here now that also here that there was a certain beggar. And this certain beggar here had a name, and his name was Lazarus. And when God looks down on us, he can say, there's my people. But when we come to be children of God, born again, God looks at us and says, there's my son, Clint. There's my daughter, Bev. And we have a name to him. We're just not a person. We're not a certain person. We have a name, and I'm glad we do. Sometimes we kindly forget our wife's name. You know, we say, hey, you, or honey, or something. And I tease my wife a lot. Her name is not Candy. And I said I was married 5 years to her before I realized what her real name was. And she's not here, so I could say that. But I tease her about that. And sometimes we might forget names, but God will never forget our name. He never will. And we see here now that this certain beggar, he had nothing of possession that anybody would want of this world. And otherwise, when he died, the heirs didn't line up and say, I want my portion, because he had nothing. Even the clothes that he had on him was any good. I'm sure they probably had to throw them away if they did not put him away in them. But he had no possessions at all in this world. And it says, this beggar was laid at the rich man's gate. Now, it said that he was laid. So when it says that he was laid, that means that he had to have help to get there. Now, the only way he was going to eat that day is for somebody to come get him and take him and lay him at a gate. Now, evidently, he was receiving some crumbs from this rich man. This rich man is probably like the other rich man. Some of them are good, some of them are moral, some of them do help the poor. Evidently, he was getting a few crumbs from there. Otherwise, they wouldn't take him there and lay him at the gate. So I think he was receiving something. But they laid him there at the gates, and they had to help him, and they probably end up and had to lay him into the dirt, because I don't think he could set up. I don't think he could even walk, because the Bible says that he was full of sores. But he was there, he was on the job, and he was making himself a living, not depending on somebody else other than to move him around when he needed it to be. In verse 21 there, it's describing that he would be fed with the crumbs. He only wanted the crumbs from the rich man's table. He didn't care about having a big roast beef sandwich, even though he would have took it, I believe. But he was more or less just interested in the crumbs. If we go to somebody's house and we say, if you got just a little something to eat, I am really hungry, you would probably get around and find them something to eat. But if I came there and I says, I'm really hungry, would you start cooking a roast and some potatoes and all that kind of stuff? You say, wait a minute now. We probably wouldn't do that. So the rich man, he was only asking from the rich man just a few crumbs. And if you get anything extra past that, then that's a blessing. And I'm sure that the rich man at this time would never miss any of those crumbs. And it says there in verse 21, it says, the dogs came and licked his sores. There's a soothing part about when a dog will lick a sore. I don't advise you to go out and do it, but I heard that there has been some soothing part about it. And whether God sent the dogs to comfort him in this area, I don't know. But anyhow, it says that the dogs came and they licked his sores. Now here we have the two men on opposite ends. You have one that is social and financial up on the ladder. You have the other one that represents the lowest extreme of the poor. You have it there, both kinds. Now, the two men we see here couldn't be any farther apart than that. It says the beggar never asked the rich man, "Can I sit at your table today?" I don't think he ever asked that. In a few words here, in this scripture here, our Lord pictures the depths and the despair that this beggar was going through. The old ragged beggar. Since we would have said he wouldn't have, if me and you was there, we would probably see him laying over at the door, and we would probably say he's just an old, poor, raggedy bum laying over there. He probably doesn't have much anything going for him spiritually, and he definitely doesn't have anything going for him financially. We can see that. And we would probably race him off as probably just hopeless in our day's society. And then I got to thinking about it. What if I went home one day and there was a homeless person or some of that type at my door? How would I react? Probably just like you, I'd get on the phone and call 911 and tell them to come pick the guy up. Probably would, wouldn't we? But the rich man at least let him lay at his doorway. And I know that times are a little different today. It may not be a homeless guy out there. After all, it might be somebody waiting on you with a gun. So you're probably better off calling 911 and getting somebody out there to take care of the things. But on the other hand, as we look at the rich man probably had a lot of things in town. He probably had some buildings named after him. He probably had even had a church named after him. After all, he probably gave wealthy to the church. He probably gave a lot of money to the school. But I'm sure that he had a wonderful name in the town. When you thought of him, you thought of money. When you thought of money, you thought of him giving to different organizations. And I'm sure that's one of the things that happened. However, all that the townspeople could see was the outward appearance. When they saw the beggar outward appearance, they thought he had nothing good for him. When they see the rich man's outward appearance, they said he has got everything going for him. This man has it. But the outward appearance a lot of time fools a lot of people. You can act like a Christian, but only God knows for sure who has had that life changing in their own heart. And we see here now that As the appearance of the rich man and the poor man, the difference they was on the outward appearance, we can see that we can't tell always what's on the inside by looking on the outside. Now look at verse 22, what's going to happen. It says, And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. I looked at this as a Christian dying, which it is at this time. It said the beggar died and was carried. You know, it's going to be a great thing one day when we leave this world. We're going to have pallbearers that are angels. It said that when the beggar died, they carried him. They carried him. The angels carried him unto Abraham's bosom. We may have somebody carrying this old body, but we're going to have angels carrying our spirit out of here. And I look at that and can rejoice, I tell you. A lot of times when a person dies, we feel sadness, and we do because we're going to miss that person. And I think about it this way, that heaven is so great and there is so much to see that I figure that I'll use myself, that if I died, I know my wife would miss me, but I think that I would be so busy in heaven once I entered in, it would probably be about 10,000 years before I realized that I missed somebody, because heaven is going to be so great, there's going to be so much to see, so many people to see, and most of all, our Savior that we will see face to face. Our Sunday school lesson this morning said, no man has seen God's face. No ordinary man has. one day we'll meet God face to face. At this time, at the instant that the beggar died, the angels became his pallbearer, carried him right into heaven. They escorted the beggar, hand-delivered him into Abraham's bosom. And that's the same thing God will do for us. He'll have us hand-delivered to him. And it says that they escorted him all the way up into Abraham's bosom. What an honor it was to be at this time the beggar, and he's in Abraham's bosom. Just think back another second before that. He was an old beggar, full of sores, dirty clothes, laying and begging for something to eat. All of a sudden, he's in one of the highest authorities there is in heaven itself, laying against Abraham's bosom, which represents paradise. Now, we also see here now that this guy, he is no longer in pain. He is no longer wanting for anything. He no longer has any sores. Everything is happiness, joy, because he's seen Jesus. Now the Bible tells us, it says in verse 22, the rich man also died and was buried. I think probably the rich man, he made news of the town. I think they had a very large funeral for him. Everybody turned out. I think the preacher at this church, he was at, I think he attended the First Baptist Church that ever took the blood out of the Bible and out of the songbooks. That was the church he belonged to. And I think at this time when the preacher got up and to do the message for the guy that was there, I'm sure he got up and he said, he is a great man. The community is going to miss him. We will miss him dearly. And I think as the preacher was preaching his funeral, I think he took the rich man and pushed him all the way up into heaven the way we would be hearing it from the preacher. But there was only one problem. The preacher got his directions mixed up. He didn't go upward. He went downward. And as he entered into hell instantly, we can see in verse 23, and it says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Two things has taken place there. He was in a place of conscious torments. And then we're going to see that he will know different people on the other side, even being in hell. And it says in verse 23, and seeing Abraham afar off, the man that went to hell, he was in torments first, and then he could see Abraham afar off. He still had his eyes. He could still see. He could still feel because he had torments. And he could still reason and think at this time while he was in hell. And I think he also could see that he missed his opportunity. Now it says, these two men now that had opposite roles. The beggar now is comforted, and the rich man now is in torments. The old saying is that from the Bible, you're going to reap what you sow. He reaped, he is sowing. The beggar is in heaven, not because he was poor. The same reason the rich man is in hell, not because he was rich, but because of what they did in this life as far as towards the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting him, putting their trust in him. Death is a separation from God because of sin. The rich man is completely separated from God. And in verse 24 there, it says the rich man becomes the beggar now. And the beggar becomes the rich man. And in verse 24 there, and it says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this place. The rich man, when the beggar was alive, probably never touched him because of his condition. But isn't it amazing now that when the rich man has a need, he says, will you send that poor old beggar, the one that scratched all of his sores with them hands, would you let him take that one finger and dip it in some water and bring it over here and put that one tip on my tongue, that old nasty old finger, would you let him do that? How death changed things right there, huh? But we know that that's not going to happen. And it says there in verse 25, Abraham reminds him at this time. He said, you rejected Christ for the material things in this world. You had money, you had land, you have houses. Lazarus didn't have any of these things. But now he is comforted. He is comforted with the Lord in heaven. And he said, this time he says, you are tormented. You have passed your hour. You have passed the time of being saved. Verse 26 there it says, and besides all of this, he said, even if there was a way I could do it. He said, beside all of this, between us and you, there is a great fixed gulf, so that they which pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us, but they would come from thence. He said, if there was any way at all, there's no way. Because of this great fixed gulf that is between us. That is the dividing line. We had hells on one side. We had paradise on the other side, or Hades, as you want to call it, at this time. And there was no, when the hour comes for us to walk to the death door, you have a fixed gulf there. You're either on one side or you're on the other side. You don't have a second chance after you die. The decision has to be made while we're alive. Verse 26 there, verse 27, after he realized then he starts asking for some requests. He says, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send us him to my father's house. In other words, my parents are still living. Would you just send Lazarus and let him go and talk to my father and talk to my mother? Because I'm sure that they would understand now, because after all, I'm here. But you know, if somebody had went from the dead and talked to him, he would not have believed it. But also he says in verse 28, he says, I have five brethren also that are lost. He says, would you send Lazarus there and tell them not to come to this place of torments, because it's not a good place. And he says, and I know that they would listen to you. And as I got to thinking about that, can you just imagine this? If it was possible that Abraham would say, okay, we'll send Lazarus back. So Lazarus goes back and he knocks on the door of the five brothers, you know, and they come to the door and they say, well, who are you? He says, well, I'm that old beggar that was over there at your brother's house laying full of sores, and he would feed me some crumbs, but I died, he says, and I died and I went to heaven. And of course, you know, your brother died and he's in hell, and he asked me if I'd come back and warn you. Now we know just about how far that would go with us too, wouldn't we, huh? And that's just about what would have happened there. But Abraham says in verse 29, he said, it won't work. It won't work, and we can't do it. He says in verse 29, he says, they have Moses, and they have the prophets. In other words, Moses, they got the five laws. I represent that as the Bible. They have the Bible today, and we have prophets, which are our preachers. It says, hear them. If they want to be saved, they go into one of them. I was telling my class this morning that only 15% of the people that are saved in some kind of evangelistic meeting. The other 85% of the people are saved from people like me and you and people hitting the roads and the streets and passing out tracts. That's a big number, 85%. So we see here now in verse 30, and he said unto him, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from the dead, they would repent. He said, if they won't hear Moses and they won't hear the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. And you know, someone has rose from the dead, and they did not believe him. One day when they put Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary and they nailed him to that cross and they put him in the grave, 3 days later he arose victorious, and we have a Savior, a risen Savior that we serve today, that's alive and well and knows our name and is waiting on us on the other side. And his name is Jesus Christ. They didn't believe him any more than they would believe the prophets or the preachers today. There will be no opportunity after death. The choice is here, and make no regrets, so that when we get the other side, you're not in a position where you say, I regret it. I regret it. I remember a preacher telling me a story one time. I'll close with this. He was telling me this, and I don't know where he got the story at, but he was telling me that it was in the older days. where this man would not go to church, and his wife was a born-again Christian, but he would not have nothing to do with the church or nothing to do with anything that affiliated with the church. One day he got sick, and as he was in bed, the wife knew he was fixing to die, so she called the preacher and says, "Preacher, would you come over here to my house real fast? I think he's dying." So the preacher goes in there, and as he walks into the bed, it said that the man raised up all of a sudden, and he says, "Preacher, please don't let them take me." And the preacher didn't know what he was talking about. And he says, "Preacher, don't let them take me. They're outside the door now. Don't let them take me. They got chains. Please don't let them take me." He says, "They're opening the door now. Preacher, don't let them take me." He says, "They're putting these chains on me now. Preacher, please don't let them take me." And he said, and the man died at that time. And he was carried away by the demons of hell, where we can be carried away by the angels in glory. And you know, it just goes to show us that when we die, somebody's coming after us. Is it going to, which angels are going to be? Is it going to be the demon, or is it going to be the angels of heaven? But somebody is going to escort us where we have chose to spend eternity. And we pray God that it will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this time in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity of being able to share the word of God. We ask God now that as it's been presented, that you'll use it, you'll talk to our hearts, and Lord, that if we need to start witness to other people to make sure that they don't go into a place like this, we pray, dear God, that you'll lay that on our heart. We ask now, God, that you'll be in this time of fellowship, that everything that will happen will bring you honor and glory. And Father, we know that you love us, and we know that we love you. And we just ask now that you'll bless in this time of invitation. In Christ's name, amen.